Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
It's great to see you all. My name's Jonathan, and it's a real privilege of mine to lead this congregation down here. If you are here for the first time, as Richard said, you're really welcome. Thanks for putting in the time to come. And if you haven't already begun to kind of experience something in the presence of Jesus, you will do. We believe here that every day is a day to experience the reality of who Jesus is and to let that experience change our day and every day from today. We believe as a church that Sunday gets us ready. We can have time out of the world, out of the busyness of what we do and the pressure of who we are. And we can literally just come into the presence of God. And God will speak to us, touch us, change us. And we can have what I would call is like a Jerusalem time. We can sing, we can pray, we can spend time one with another. We can let God speak to us and move in our hearts. But Sunday is a Jerusalem experience so that we can go and take Jericho for Jesus. Tomorrow everybody is going somewhere. Unless you're going to stay here tonight, in which case you're really weird and we will lock you in. But other than that, everybody tomorrow has to go into the world that they're in. And we believe that Sunday is part of God's grace so that we can get pumped up in faith, not in us, but in who God is. We can hear the truth about who God is and what he's done and what he said. And that truth can set us free. You are gorgeous. And that truth can set us free. Oh yeah, Janet, sorry. I mean, you're all really nice, but Janet, you're gorgeous. That's my wife, just in case you get worried. And as a church, we have, really since the beginning of this year, if some of you are part of Kingdom Faith, then you'll know this, but for those of you that are here for the first time, we're excited that you're here today. This is a great day to be alive in Christ. Don't believe and don't base your life on what you're reading in the newspapers today. Don't believe or base your life on what you're hearing in media today, because they only know the truth in part, because they only know Jesus in part. I'm very thankful that in one particular party that's been re-elected, there are five people who claim to know Christ as Lord. I think that's good. But let me tell you that when pressure comes and crisis comes, they will know the truth and the truth will set them free. So what I'm praying and what we were praying this morning at 9 is that these men and women of faith, let faith arise. Not politics or preference or bad eggs or good eggs or scrambled eggs, but they just let their faith in Jesus arise. I'm just so thankful as a Christian that Jesus voted me in. But I had to leave something else. Ooh. I'm so thankful that Jesus voted for me. And he voted for you too. But there's a consequence. And the consequence is I needed to leave what I had and come into what he had. So we were praying for this nation. We were praying for the governance. If any of you have the time and the inclination or the heart just to come along to Faith Camp. Faith Camp, and most of you would know about that, it's our biggest conference in the whole year. We have about 7,000 people coming every day for 6 days at the Ears of England Showground. But on the Thursday, we're spending pretty much that entire day praying for our nation, praying for governments, praying for emerging generations, praying for Israel and the Middle East. That's what we're going to be doing. 6,000 people just with one heart, with one voice, with one sound. It's going to be powerful, right? Yeah. I think that's powerful. If you can't make Faith Camp, that's fine. Just on that Thursday, just peg in your diary, your smartphone or your stupid phone or whatever phone you've got. Just put some reminder in there that on this day, I'm part of something bigger than me. Because at Kingdom Faith, we know that we are part of something bigger than me. And if you're here for the first time, God wants you to leave knowing that today he wants you to be part of something bigger than you, and that's him. He also has a destiny for you which is greater than your own and more than you can imagine, because it's his. And again, another thing that came out this morning as we were just praying for you, praying for the time, is that God made two statements back in a book called Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a guy, a bit of a dodgy character really in some senses. But he heard God and he spoke what he heard God say. And he says this in chapter 29, or God said it through him, I know the plans I have for you. Just turn to the person next to you and say, God knows the plan for you. I found in my own experience that we can say that in several ways. If I'm feeling a bit desperate, it's like, God knows he has a plan. If I'm feeling really confident, it's God knows he has a plan. God knows. Same words, but how we approach the words determines what we get out of it. But let me just tell you something. God has a plan for you. It's constant. It's established. It is not negotiable. You don't have to vote. It's there. And it's a particular kind of plan. It's a plan to prosper you. That word means more than just fill up your wallet. God's not interested in filling up your wallet. He's interested in filling up you. That word prosper means that you will have a wealthy relational group. You'll have a wealthy work life. You'll have a wealthy home life. You'll have a wealthy family life. You'll have a wealthy health life. And you'll have a wealthy financial life. That's what that word prosper means. It's more than just God said he's giving me loads of money. He doesn't want to give you loads of money. He wants to give you loads of him. Blake, what a good man. Blake's coming to Discover today, aren't you? Bring your wife with you. That'd be really okay. That'd be great. Let's not start like that. Let's do it together. So the Lord says, it's a plan to prosper you, which is very positive, isn't it? How many of you want to know this prospering? If your hand isn't up, man, you're really strange. How many of you want to be well? How many of you want to be healthy? Okay. How many want to have the richness of life? Just put your hands up. Let me see. So I see that hand. It's okay. It's not that kind of thing. But God also says, and not to. Say not to. In other words, this isn't going to happen. So just in this verse, God determines two things, what is and what isn't. What isn't going to happen is harm you. How cool is that? That just makes, in the reading from last month, we're looking through Romans, we're looking at Mark now, and I'm going to kind of just share some thoughts on that in a moment, is that God has determined about you. He has decided to prosper you. He's also decided not to harm you. I think that's pretty incredible. I'm so thankful that God wants to prosper me. Thank you, my God. But I'm also thankful he doesn't want to harm me. Which is why in the book of Romans, as I mentioned, we were looking at that last month. All things, say all things. Work together for the good. For those who are loved and called according to his purpose. That's why God reveals himself through Jesus, but his nature is the same. It's just we see it different. God's always had a plan to prosper you. And God's always had a plan not to harm you. And what I believe God wants to do today, and it was interesting because Andrea, we have a little planning session in the creche. I just use it as an excuse to play with the toys, to be honest. But we have to do grown-up stuff like, you know, who's going to do what. But Andrea said she felt that the Lord said today he wanted to reposition people. I thought, that's interesting because that's the first one I've written down. That's quite good because either we're both right or we're both wrong. But at least we're in it together. That was right, wasn't it? You said reposition. Today, God wants to reposition you. Let me put it this way. As I was just kind of thinking and praying about today, I don't mind doing that. Because I've learned that without prayer, I'm too dependent on me. And I know that the last thing you want is me. You were just too quick. You were just a bit too quick when you responded there. Just take that captive. Hold that thought. Liz, stop it. What I mean by that is that what you don't want is just what I think. But I just trust that what I'm going to talk about is what God thinks. But there's something about this season where God is saying, trust in me to prosper you. And God wants to reposition you today. He wants to reposition your houses, your families, your marriages if you're married, your singleness if you're single. It's great, either way. And the thought that I had, it's a story from the Old Testament, there's a couple of occasions, but There was a time when there was great persecution on people, and physically there was not much going on. There was not enough to eat, there was not enough to drink, there was not enough relationship, there was not enough support. Sickness became too common, healthy people became too rare. And then suddenly God spoke and he said, the famine is over. And I believe for some of you today, God is saying that. Is that for you, God wants you to know that the famine is over. The famine is over. A siege is lifted. I don't know what that has meant for you. I know what it can mean for me. It's a siege of my head. It's the pressure. What if it doesn't work? What if that happens? It's all about making me feel isolated and defeated. How many of you know that God hasn't made you or me isolated or defeated? So the first thing that God repositions is me and him and you and him. I love that. And as we look at the book of Mark, and we've been looking at Mark just since Friday, I think, is that the very, very first thing that God reinforces through Mark is that Jesus is going to reposition you with him. I love that. And I don't know what kind of Saturday or Friday or last week or last year you've had. All I know is today, God wants you to know the famine's lifted over your life. The sage is ended. The days ahead will not be like the days that you've had. Where there's been pressure to squash you down is a greater pressure to push you out. Why? Because he that is in you, if you know Christ today, this is true for you. He that is in you is greater. It is not a fallacy. It's not a concept. It is the reality that if you have given your life to Jesus, he has given his life to you. And his life is great. His life is life. And his life in you is greater than the pressure. I think God puts us under pressure. Why? To prosper us. Well, I don't like pressure. No. We all get pressure. It's how we let his pressure dominate that makes the difference. When we're in a time of famine, it's like, I have no idea of where it's going to work. But when we know Jesus, I know where my help's coming from. And if it doesn't come today, it's going to come tomorrow. Do you understand that? When you know Christ, you know the famine lifter, you know the siege breaker, you know the one that we sang an hour ago nearly. He is victorious. Let me tell you, it's true. He reigns in victory over you, over your future, over your past, over your eternity, over your destiny. He reigns over your health. He reigns over your wealth. He reigns over your relationships. He reigns over all. Just say over all. Don't make an exception to that which he has not. Oh, he rose all over everybody apart from me. No. He's deliberately come for you. Jesus deliberately came, we see in Mark, for people like you and me. He didn't come for the religious people. He didn't come for the people who were in the famine industry. He didn't come for those who made weapons for siege. He came for people who were in famine and being besieged by life. People like you and me. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come for those who were well. He came for those that were sick and needed a doctor. Have we got that? So if you think, oh, I'm not worthy, you qualify, my friend. A, you're absolutely right, you don't. And B, he qualifies you. I like that. I used to have a real issue with that. It's like, oh, God was speaking to me out of the Bible about all this stuff he did and all this stuff he had. And all. I was thinking, oh, God, it's all too much. And he said, exactly. But it's blowing my mind. He said, well, change your mind. He said, it's too much for me. He says, you've not seen anything yet. Remember, this plan is to prosper, not to maintain. God doesn't have inflation in heaven. God doesn't cut inflation because things are tough. He just pours out more.
Oh, hallelujah.
I had a thought, actually, going back, when we were comparing Dan with Shane, which was quite cool, wasn't it? I was thinking that me and Richard look alike.
I'm really sorry.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. I did take that thought captive. I did play with it. I played with it for a minute, to be honest with you. I thought, that's really funny. I think we're similar. We both put our trousers on the same way, for a start. We both have glasses. Don't know what he's clapping me for. He's got to take her home. He should be clapping him. Come on, Richard. Well done, Richard. Anyway, let's just have a little look at the Gospel of Mark. Again, as church, we've started to read through the Gospel of Mark. We're just going to pick up on some points, but it's around repositioning. And I want to show you how Jesus does this. Now, how many of you know that how Jesus did things, he can do the same things again? I'm just going to push that a little bit further. How Jesus did things, he wants to do the same things again. It's not just that Jesus is able to be the same today. He is the same today. It's not just, well, if the wind's in the right direction, you know, and if Iceland win the World Cup, whatever it is, Wales, you know, if all of the circumstances are in the right direction, then Jesus is Lord. No, Jesus is Lord, and he moves things to reflect that. But the book of Mark is interesting, and again, I'm just going to put this out here. There's 16 chapters in the book of Mark. I know some, you know, should the last bit be in there, whatever. Let's not get into theology. I just want to highlight this. In the first 8 chapters, Jesus was traveling in a certain direction, mostly in the north of the country. Then suddenly, in chapter 8, he changed his direction. And as I was just kind of praying about this and thinking about this, the Lord said this to me. He said, I can intervene on anybody's journey, anybody's wandering, even if they feel as if they're just wandering lost, or they're wandering with friends but they feel lost, or they're just wandering from place to place and not quite sure what they're doing. However we're wandering, the moment that you see Jesus is the Messiah, it will change your journey. Because in Mark chapter 8, suddenly they realized, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I just want to tell you today, however you've walked here, journeyed here, tramped, run, been carried, once you see Jesus is the Messiah, he is the one who will give you everything, your journey will change. Because from Mark 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus began to walk towards his destiny. And he wants the same for you and me today. As church, for this whole year, our senior pastor, Pastor Clive, he really, this time last year, I was with him, he's praying, okay, God, what are you saying about next year, this year? And he said, the Lord is saying we're to live as a sent people. If you're only here for the first time today, that might be news to you, but if you're part of Kingdom Faith, you'll know that we're here as a sent people. But how are we sent? We're sent with destiny. We're sent into this time and place to change it for God. We're sent into the workplace or the home place or the school place or the church place to change it for Jesus. We're not here to change it for us. We're here to change it for him. Hallelujah. And I just love it that this year, I've lost count the number of times in this room or in the other venue up there, I've just seen Jesus. And every time it's Jesus just says, I'm the one who makes it work. I'm the one that makes it happen. I'm the one that gives you power. I'm the one that gives you love. I'm the one that gives you a future. It's not you, it's me. Keep your eyes on me. And suddenly, out of that, your day changes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you want to know what I'm talking about? Ah. We all do, don't we? And I love it in Mark. Halfway through, suddenly, his journey changes. When anyone sees Jesus, we see the one that can save us. What does that mean? Usually, primarily, save us from ourselves. Because we just do stuff which doesn't do us any good. It doesn't prosper us. It's short-term gain. Jesus wants to save us from ourselves and for himself. Then as we find out that Jesus is the anointed one, he's the one who heals us. Yes, the NHS is great. I doubt whether it's going to get £350 million a week back. I doubt it. But I do know that Jesus wants to be part of it. Do you understand that? I'm not having a go here. I have no idea. I don't know what men say to get what men want, but I just know Jesus only tells me the truth. And he'll tell you the truth too. And his truth says, by my stripes or by my wounds, you are healed. And when you see Jesus as the one who anoints, the one that empowers, suddenly you realize, and he's also the one that can heal me. Not he could, he has. And when we see this Jesus, we realize that the Lord of the universe, the one that, again, we were singing about, before everything was awoken, you were there, it's true. But suddenly this Jesus, the mighty God, wants to serve us. I can't get my head around that, all right, to be honest with you. He's the one that made everything, is everything. Everything was made through him, for him, and by him. And yet, when I see him, he wants to serve. It blows your head. It blows your head. It blows my head anyway. I'm not a smart person. I'm just a simple person. But I know that our journey changes. Today, God wants to change your next step. Not just help you take it. He wants to change it. He doesn't want you or me leaving today just knowing he's going to help us. He wants to be the helper. It's more than Jesus just helping us out. He is our help. It's more than just Jesus healing us. He is our healer. It's more than just Jesus providing for us. He is our provider. It's more than just Jesus guiding us left and right. He is our guide. Jesus doesn't want to do stuff. He wants to be someone afresh. Hallelujah. Is this all right? You're all right, Stuart. Excellent. I love this beginning of this particular gospel. When I first was a Christian, I read this gospel probably more than any of the other ones. Mark 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to tell a story, tell his story, not yours. Everybody's got a story. But his story always ends in a certain way. We join the story because he lets us. But I love this. It's the only gospel that says this is a gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who saves. Christ, the one who gives. His full title is Lord Jesus Christ, of course. But that's okay. We'll let Mark off that. But in just these two names, Jesus Christ, we find this is a good story. This story is going to go somewhere. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. What a tremendous opportunity that I believe Jesus is putting on you and me. I believe Jesus is coming back. How many agree with that? I'm not suggesting he's coming back today or at 20 past one or, you know, whatever, because actually nobody knows apart from God himself. And if you think you know, you don't. You just don't know what you do know until you've read the Bible, then you'll know. Does that make any sense? Okay. Anne, love you. But you don't know. But you don't have to know. All you need to know is the one who knows. Sometimes we just want to know too much stuff or know the wrong stuff. We just need to know Jesus. But my suggestion is this, is that now we've been reminded that the famine is over, the siege is lifted. Man, that's got to be part of our message. It needs to be part of yours and my communication. I know what you've been going through, but there is a hope. I know how tough it's been, but there's another way. I don't want to be part of the problem, can I just put it that way, when God's actually made me part of the solution and he's made you part of it too. So although this was said specifically to this funny guy called John who had really dodgy designer clothes and ate locusts, which apparently is coming back in fashion now. There's a program on the TV the other day, it's really weird. It's like a cooking program and all that they cooked was like insects. It was almost like whale blubber. Insects. But there's a lot of nutrition in insects, apparently. This is why we've opened up the window. So there's lunch. Lunch is out there. And if you're fed up with that, supper's out this way.
Lead
Sorry, just write your name down here. The core of the message in Mark and the core of the message is today is the stories about Jesus and what he can do for you. But when he's done it, we become part of the message. Let's just read a few thoughts here. We've all lived on the wrong side of God's best. I've mentioned that. But we have a new beginning through faith and trust in Jesus. It's called getting saved, giving your life to Jesus. It goes on in the first chapter of Mark that once we give our lives to Jesus, our whole lifestyle changes because we live under an open heaven. We didn't open it. Jesus opened it. We don't live apart from Christ. We live set apart for Christ. We don't live apart from the world. We live set apart from the world. That's powerful. We can't do that. So Jesus does it for us. We hear the voice of God in a fresh way. We have spirit-led and spirit-sent lives. The message that there is a famine suddenly becomes a message that the famine has ended. The message of there is no hope, you know, go to the doctors, take tablets, it'll be all right, there, never mind, is actually if you put your trust in Jesus, he can do something for you. I used to think that you could find Jesus at the bottom of a bottle. You can't. He's at the top of it. It's true. You won't find Jesus in a bottle. Jesus, there's a song there. I used to love Police. Sorry, I won't go there. No, we become part of the proclaimers. Oh, there's another one. And I would walk the... So, I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from. I'll put it back. It's a song, Frank. It's all right. What, the Proclaimers? It's a song. Group, two people from Scotland. Ah, Isabel. She was one of them. Sorry, I've told everybody who you are now. But Mark chapter 1 helps you and me to understand that before Jesus came, we had no hope, but Jesus came full of hope. But he didn't just come with a message of hope, he showed what hope looked like. Jesus didn't just come with a load of ambition, he fulfilled ambition. Jesus didn't just come with a load of words, he showed the words. It's interesting the difference that 24 hours can make. Just over halfway through the first chapter, Jesus went to a town, and by the end of the town, on that end of the day, on that same town, it says everybody from the town came. In one day, Jesus went somewhere, there was famine. People were sick, people were oppressed, people were fed up, people were committing suicide, people were paralyzed. People were paralyzed in their head and in their heart and in their body. In one day, the whole town came to one house, and everybody left well. One day. Why not again? Why not this day? Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe over your towns, and Janet, it was funny because Janet was saying about how can I give these girls names for their towns? And we went through them all, and I thought this was quite funny. And it kind of, yeah, but every town, every village has got you in it if you live there. You're in your town. Somewhere in that town that you're in, whether it's part of a bigger town or whether it's in a real, whether it's the city of Chichester, wherever it is. I thought Chichester was just a roadblock. Chichester, wherever it is. You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Wherever it is that you are, Jesus wants you to live as though the whole town wants to hear what you have to say. We need to live as though everybody wants to come to our party, not that nobody wants to come to our party. We need to live much more, I believe, with no famine or siege mentality. And that's what Jesus showed us. He went to this town in the morning, and at the end of the day, it says 32 to 34 of Mark chapter 1. Vite. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, but he wouldn't let them speak about who he was. That's just in one day. Then it goes on a little bit about how he set people who were emotionally, physically, psychologically, mentally healed. He even healed a mother-in-law. I'm not looking that way at all. He even healed a mother-in-law. That's amazing. Mother-in-law's really important. Do you know the first thing she did when she was well? Serve Jesus. Come on. When you've been touched by the famine breaker, when you've been touched by the siege lifter, you want to serve someone. Jesus didn't lift your famine so you were fat. He lifted your famine so you would live healthy. Jesus doesn't come and break the siege that you go around saying, oh, what? It's so that same God can do the same thing for you. Hallelujah. Are you excited by this? I'm kind of excited. Is anybody excited at the back? Give us a wave. You're such an obedient lot, Diane. You're not the cheerleader. You get up, everybody's up. Can we do a wipe? No, it's okay, we won't do that. A couple of thoughts here on how Jesus lived like this. And for me, it's interesting that halfway through chapter 2, it says Jesus went to a solitary place. Here's a challenge for us. Where's yours? Where is your place? Where is your part of your day where it's just you and Jesus? It's over there, turn right. Where is it in your day where you have ring-fenced, pegged, you non-negotiate that time where you just lock yourself in with God? Because if you haven't got one of those, can I just say, find one? Get one? Because Jesus shows us just in a couple of verses that Jesus prayed. What does that mean? It means, again, refreshes in my understanding of how Jesus operated. He didn't do anything without the instructions from God. And sometimes we do things without God telling us. And then we blame God that it doesn't work. I'm really thankful that God never blames me that they don't work. He just says, get over yourself. Trust me next time. Don't blame God for what is our responsibility. All right? That's called presumption. We maybe do a session on that on another Sunday. Faith is God has said it, then I can do it. Presumption is I think God has said it, or I'll just make it up, or I can't wait. That's not faith, that's presumption. And usually it doesn't work. But because God is very gracious, he still prospers us. But we find that the rest of chapter 2, after he's prayed in this solitary place, he hits significant things. Leprosy, paralysis, calling beyond people's preference. Grace beats law. A crowd came because they heard what was happening. He appointed his team. I believe we're part of his team. Thank you. First three rows agree. If you're here today, can I just encourage you to be part of Jesus' team? Yeah. Come on, let's be part of the solution, not the problem. Yeah. It then goes on that he lived the kingdom. He redefined family. He showed the love of God. He demonstrated the love of God. Prayer was the tipping point. And for us as church, it's the tipping point. God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to do it today? Who are you going to bring along my path today? Faith makes me Lord of my day. Monday was not designed to lead you by the nose. It's Monday. Yes, great day then. Let's hear what God is saying. Let's hear the strategy. Let's download and let's go. Suddenly, Monday becomes your slave and not your master. Depends who's Lord of it, right? When I was working with cars a lot back in the day, if you had a really, really rubbish car, it used to be a phrase, it was a Friday afternoon car. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's like, you know, everyone is going home. It doesn't matter. Just chuck a few bits in there. All the spare bits I'll take home with me. That kind of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, of course you do. There's no such thing as a Friday afternoon blessing from God. They're all the same. It's the same on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So we need to get out of that famine mentality. God can bless me on a Sunday. What about tomorrow? There's even more tomorrow. Well, I don't feel like it. Then change your feelings. We all like change until we have to. Have you noticed that?
Sorry, was that?
I was only meant to think that. I'm really sorry. Just mindful of the time. So the reading plan that we're with, Mark, is going to help fuel your faith, fuel your trust, give you direction. When you're giving your time to God, he will speak to you. He will. What is God saying and what are you going to do with it? That's where the Messiah part. God, I need your help to do this. In about three Saturdays' time, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, we've got a tremendous opportunity through praying, through working together, through our faith. We're going to go down to Broadmoor Carnival and we're going to release the famine mentality and we're going to break the siege mentality for about the 6,000 people that come on that bit of grass. Because it's time. There's 118,000 people living Worthing. Let's start with those. Tuesday night when we pray, let's start with those. Let's pray. Come on. The famine's over. The siege is lifted. Jesus is Lord. He's the Messiah. He's alive. He's moving. He's setting captives free. He's healing the paralyzed. He's touching those with skin diseases. He's healing those with mental diseases. He's healing those with heart diseases, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus is lifting the famine where there's been lack or poverty so that there is provision and wealth. That's what Jesus does. He does because of who he is. He doesn't do because of who we are. What a relief. Hallelujah. So we can have great Sundays. This is a great Sunday. But I just want to finish with this. Your famine is in your head. It is not in the heart of God. Siege is in your feelings. It is not in God's feelings for you. God is very generous with everything. The word famine is not in the nature of God at all. Abundance, lavish, generous, grace, too much, too often. That's the language of God. Siege is not in the language of God. What's in the language of God is deliverance, victory, breakthrough. I'll make a way there where there is no other way. You will know me and you will know the truth. There is only advancement in God's language. Why? Because he's for you and he's not against you. Let's all stand up, shall we? I was just about getting into it then. I'll tell you what, this afternoon, just go and find a tree. Don't hug it. So who was it? Norton said to me, you're going to hug a tree. I said, no, I'll get it with a kiss. Just find 15 minutes on your own or with your friend and just preach. Tell them about the truth. Feed the breaking of famine. Feed the lifting of siege. Don't use language like, I can't. Because normally with me, that just means I won't. You might be a bit more spiritual than me, but that's what it means to me. Jesus says, where in the Bible does it say you can't? I said, I can't find it. Because he's kind of like that. He says, no, you can do how many things? Right. Don't stop with I can do all things, because otherwise we just end up doing everything, including stuff we shouldn't do. We have to do it through someone, and it's through Christ. Just close your eyes. Dan's nicked my best joke. It does all go dark. But suddenly the light will come on. Father, I want to thank you that you show us at the beginning of Mark that the gospel, the story is about Jesus. I thank you that when we see you as you really are, our journey changes dramatically. I just thank you that the famine over our lives, over our generational life, over our household life is broken. I thank you that the famine of restriction over our going in and our coming out, upon our finances, upon our giving is broken. I thank you that the siege on our minds and on our bodies is broken because of Jesus. I thank you that right now you just remind us that you are the Messiah. You are the giver, the enabler, the blesser, the leader, the healer, the redeemer, the restorer, the reconciler, the father. Oh, hallelujah. The adopter, the acceptor. You are the shaper and the filler. Jesus, you just remind us that you are the provider. You are the redeemer. You are the restorer. You are the reconciler. You are our strength. I thank you that today our life changes because your plan is to prosper us so that we become a blessing to our households, a blessing to our town, a blessing to our community, a blessing to this area, and God, a blessing to this nation and the nations. You have called us for such a time as this one. And we thank you for the grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. If you need the Holy Spirit, just put your hands up and ask for him. The Bible says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you've not received the Holy Spirit at all, just make sure you've given your life to Jesus. You've left your life outside. You brought his life into your life today. That you just make a decision. Jesus, I can't live without you. I want to live with you. And in a moment of time, he will take your life and he will give you his. But he won't leave you powerless. He says, come on, ask for the Spirit of God. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm going to come upon you, use you. I'm going to make you a communicator of hope, a communicator of famine breaking and siege lifting. I'm going to use you in your household, in your workplace, in the bus, in the car, in the queue, in your training, in your schooling. I'm going to use you in your parenting. I'm going to use you in your marriage life. You are a famine breaker and a siege lifter. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise and give him some glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate with a shout of victory. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.